This is Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics.
He said, the whole world looks different.
You can do it your way.
My life has been fundamentally altered by their existence.
I gotta tell you, kids don't stop learning.
That is how I change the story.
Babies are instant community generators.
My growth curve just like shot up after I had a kid.
I wasn't planning any of it.
Let's jump in 3, 2, 1.
It is awesome to have everyone back here at the Sounding Board Parenting Podcast, and it is even better to have Casey Graves back for her 2.0. We've got her back nice and quick. We've had her on in episode 25, and I'm really excited to really dive deeper into some of the areas that we touched on last time, things like children's health, belief systems, technology, and the future of parenting as well. Casey, it's awesome to have you back.
It's great to be back. Lovely to see you, Sean, and great to hear about your holiday.
You too. Yes, it was a very nice holiday. For anyone out there that doesn't know or doesn't follow me on the socials, we spent a couple of weeks on the turquoise and coral coast of WA, visiting plenty of little beaches and farm stays. Definitely recommend for anyone when these borders open up to be able to get involved and enjoy themselves in our beautiful state of WA. Now, as I said, I'm really looking forward to sort of diving deeper into a few of those areas. But before we do that, we have an exercise or an activity, a reflection activity that we provide all of our listeners, usually halfway between every episode or during every episode. And I'd love to start with that before we go into it, just between us. So it involves three questions. And the first question for this reflection exercise is, tell me about a moment in the past week that you have been proud of yourself as a parent.
The last week, what have I been proud of? The last week I've certainly been proud. We had a sports carnival during the week, and every bit of me wants to just get in there and control the situation. And physically connect with Tilly. And I really found that ability to look within and see, what is this about? Is this about me or is this about her? So I've been doing quite a bit of that over the last week and stepping back. She quite happily told me, go away, Mum, leave me alone. But above and beyond that. So yeah, really, really proud of myself to step back and letting her step up, really.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Sounds like she's developing that sense of self pretty quickly too.
Yeah, she definitely is.
That's really cool to hear. The second question in this reflection exercise is tell me about an area of parenting that you are going to focus on improving over the next week.
What am I going to improve on? I feel like in the last week, we have been quite busy. So we've been the B word, doing a lot of things. So we've been doing a lot of house renovations and things. So I haven't been as present as I usually like to be. We haven't had the one-on-one time. So that's actually what my focus is for next week.
Awesome, awesome. What is your favourite one-on-one time, like with Tilly?
Playing a game. Playing a board game. Sit and play a board game or sit and do colouring in. That's our favourite. We'll all sit and cuddle and chat. We'll just sit and chat and, do whatever's the latest, read a school book or...
That's cool. The power of play possesses many benefits, doesn't it?
Like in many hours.
Yeah, so many ways. The finally, the third question as part of this reflection exercise is tell me about a moment or a time in the past week that Tilly has made you smile.
Well, the carnival's so fresh in my mind, so I think that's a big one. I think seeing her look after her little friends and come together as a team. You know, she was walking, they walked out as a little group and their faction, and she was holding her little friend's hand, and it was almost like that they were looking after each other, and that care, that really made me smile, really made me feel good. So she's learning.
That's awesome. No, that's cool. Like I always enjoy that question the most out of those three, because at the end of the day, like, what is life about to me? And that's what that question brings out is life is about joy, is about smiling, is about being happy around the people that make you happy as well. And I think our children do that in a big way, in so many ways, so being able to really capture just one of those moments like you just described there with Tilly and her friends is really cool. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those.
Thank you. I love those questions when you do them in the podcast, and it does, they make me, I always have to think hard.
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, we're that famous B word, busy. We're always, sort of going from one thing to another, and it's just a natural thing these days to forget, to stop and reflect sometimes. So it can just be, a little state changer. It can be a little, a little moment to just sort of be, I think, which is, it can be nice. I definitely enjoy those moments as well. And just flowing on from that, I think we recorded episode 25, which was your first chat like a month ago, I think. What has changed for you since the last time we spoke, Casey? Like, how is that the ever-changing world of parenting for you right now?
Yeah, the ever-changing world. Well, never stop. I think one of the biggest things that's been that sort of changed around here is we've had some of those social behaviours or social situations that we've had to navigate as parents, and that's been really fascinating for me. It's the first time I've seen a behaviour that I didn't really like, and I have never seen that before in Tilly. And I had to really go through the process of what is this? Where did it come from? Why did it happen? Because I don't see behaviors as trying to communicate something. And, you know, nothing happens for no reason. So, you know, I had to really dig deep within myself to say, well, what part of this that's going on is my triggering, my childhood, my story, and what part of it is actually her and just it is what it is. So over the last month, whilst it's really only been one situation as such, it's really given me that time to reflect in all aspects of socialisation that we've been involved with, to go to stop and say, all right, well, yeah, is this my stuff? Is this her stuff? And break it down so that I'm responding from her place of parenting Tilly as opposed to parenting my inner child. And so it's been a big month in regards to that. It really has.
It's amazing what can come from a month since we last chatted. Like, yeah, we were chatting off air just around, just having a week of realizations personally as well. So, I mean, it's amazing what this year has brought up so far, and I feel like it's going to keep bringing up a fair bit as well, potentially, just in such a changing sort of time and quite a stressful time for some people, for some industries, for just some families. It's amazing what can happen in such a short period of time in terms of personal growth, personal change, and change as a family as well, as you were describing. So flowing on from that, like, what are your beliefs currently about parenting, and how have they changed over the years?
You always give me the good questions, don't you? still believe my belief around parenting is that it's vital that we actually split the two, or split the two is maybe not right, but that we do really navigate from not our inner child, from our childhood. That is that's what we know. We only know that. But if we haven't healed the wounded inner child or our childhood trauma or our childhood patternings, then how do we navigate for our own children? So I guess my biggest parenting belief at the moment, or what I'm really sort of around, is that. It's that I have to make sure I have to be calculated in a positive way and take a breath. I just stop, take a breath, because I truly believe the way we respond is due to our stuff, not theirs. And that can obviously have both a positive and a negative outcome. So working on ourselves as parents is vital for me. That's just it is a core belief for me, that working on us ourselves personally gives us the best outcome. So, and that's what I've been doing. I've actually been doing I've been doing that a lot for years, but the last 3 months I've solidly been working on a couple of personal belief systems through a company called Planet Personal Growth. Anyway, I'm doing something with them specifically on a weekly basis, a course that they do, and some other things to marry in with that. And it makes me a better person. It makes me my ideal self. I work, I function better, I parent better, I partner better, I live myself better when I'm doing that. So that's definitely my strongest parenting belief. Work on our own inner child, work on ourselves, and we can show up better every day.
I resonate with that in a big way, Casey. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really what is underpinning understanding board parenting, like people wanting to become the best parent they can be, or having to strip that back and really put some time into becoming the best version of themselves that they can be. And I can hear that coming through from what you're saying. Tell me and the listeners a little bit more about how that looks in terms of you talked about, was it Planet Personal Development?
Yeah, they're called Planet Personal Growth.
Personal growth, okay.
They do a course called Blueprint, which is what I'm doing at the moment.
Awesome.
The thing is that whatever our belief is, even if in my conscious mind I'm like, no, this is the way we're going to do it. I'm going to buy that car, or I'm going to, and I'm going to get the red one, and it's going to be with the sparkly wheels, and it's going to be X, Y, and Z. It's right at that very last second before we make that decision that our core belief system may flip and be all of a sudden we're buying a different car and it's blue. So we idealistically might think that parenting, like making this parenting decision, is perfect, and this is what it is from what I hear around me today, my new group of friends that are school new because of I'm now in a school environment, and from what I learned is from my parents or what my siblings say, or all of these influences. But it's really that last second is the true core belief systems that are built when we're young that makes that decision. So that when you say how can I describe or what I'm actually doing, is I want to make sure that last second before I make the decision on my call with parenting comes from what I've learned as an adult rather than what I have felt and put a label to as a child. Did I explain that correctly?
You did. That's where I just go back to that comment before around, like, it's coming through loud and clear how much time and energy you have put into your personal growth, into just learning more about yourself and why you are the way you are. And I think, you can go so deep into that, but a few things that come to mind is just being able to get clear on your values, on your value system. And they change over time.
Yeah.
But just being able to get clear on those and have those there in front of you every day, every week, whatever it might be, just being able to really get clear on them, because at the end of the day, we make our decisions through the filter of our values. Like that is what drives our behavior. Our values drive our attitude, and our attitude drives our behavior, because how we think is how we act. And at the end of the day, there are situations, that there are people out there. I've been in that situation where I really just hand over my sort of emotional power, my inner strength, over to so many of these external things when I'm not clear on those values, when I'm in those situations where I'm not clear on values. And that usually leads to being pulled here, there, and everywhere. But being able to get clear on my values really helped with that. And then probably the second part to that come to mind was choosing your inputs. And by inputs, I mean, where are you taking your information from, in terms of people, in terms of sources, whatever it might be, just getting really clear on that too. Because at the end of the day, if you can get clear on that, you can make more decisions that are aligned with that, which means you'll be at peace more often. That's just my personal belief anyway.
Absolutely. We do, you know, you've got to make sure those people around you are the people you want to be like, because, you know, the saying, you spend the most time, you end up being like the people you spend the most time with. Sean, I'm just going to close my window because the lawnmower man's next
That's
door.
Cool. That's cool.
we've got to make sure those sources they sit with us well. But I don't want to trivialize the, you know, other elements that have effect on making decisions. You know, if we're under workplace stress or emotional stress or family stress, relationship stress, that definitely has a bearing. It's not to trivialize nutritional deficiency or hormone imbalance. That doesn't have a part to play. And it's not to say that I am perfect with the decisions that I make or the beliefs that I currently hold, but what I'm very much about is that you can get the nutritional, you can get the emotional and the relationship, and you can get the financial, you get all that balance. But if we don't look deep into where those belief systems come from and where our values align, or where they sit, then making decisions is really challenging. So totally. Yeah, I would hate for people to be listening and think that my whole core of parenting comes around belief systems, because we've got to have joy and happiness too. So maybe that's the decision and the belief system, that I'm worthy of rest and I'm worthy of abundance and I'm worthy of beautiful things, and that makes me feel really good. So then I show up as the parent feeling really happy and vibrant and full of life. So it's not always as clear cut as emotional belief systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's something though, like you mentioned joy and happiness there. That can also be sort of driven in terms of clarity on those things that are important to you, those values or whatever we want to call them. An example comes to mind of the Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman. I was listening to an interview with him recently by Tim Ferriss, I think, on the Tim Ferriss podcast. And he was talking about this practice that he uses called the Daily Design.
Okay.
And the Daily Design is basically where, so he has got clear on his values, he checks in with them every few months just to make sure that, yeah, if anything's changing in himself, that he's sort of staying on top of that, staying aligned with it. But this Daily Design is, I find it really cool. He basically takes his values that he's become clear on, and then he will design his day at the start of the day after he's done some meditation or some gratitude practice. He'll design his day just in his journal, not minute for minute, hour for hour, but he'll just note down a few key things in past tense, like he's done them already, that he wants to really get out of the day, that he intends to put some time and energy into. And he always aligns them with those really important values that he holds highly at that time. And he finds just being able to really sort of push himself into that day, really get clear on some intentions that are aligned with those values that he holds dearly at that time, he described it as a game changer. And I've got to vouch for that. Like, I've been practicing it the last month, And it's huge. And the thing is, though, it's come from being clear on what's important to me in the first place. And there's so many different ways now out there to get clear on those values. But I'd encourage anyone to just take a look down that path of what is important to me right now. Just taking a moment to work out, what am I spending most of my time on? What do I want to spend most of my time on? If I had my ideal day, what would it look like? And just those little exercises, it can really just start to, people I think will be surprised about how it naturally starts to sort of go that way. That's been my experience anyway. I'm not sure about yours, though. What's that been like for you?
Absolutely. And it's interesting, in our women's reset program, one of the activities is, you know, giving away all the activities, but one of the activities is set the intention in the morning. Because, yeah, you know, women, and men are the same, but we're so taught, we're so stretched, and you can just easily Groundhog Day every single morning. And if we don't set an intention for the day, then you kind of just aimlessly groundhog your day, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing every morning, regardless. If my shower is 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's generally closer to the, you know, the fast one. But it didn't matter how, and through the hardest times of postnatal anxiety and depression, the one thing I always did was stand in that shower, no matter how quick it was, and set intention for the day.
Yeah.
It was when you have a positive intention for the day, you've got something you're striving for, and that may have been, on some days, look at the blue sky and appreciate it. Yeah. You know, it's something so simple. Or, you know, to other days, I might be like, my intention is to get my whole to-do list done, or my intention is to be present. It doesn't matter what, just having something to use that is aligned with your values, aligned with your goal and your ideal life, really sets you up for where you want to go. I think setting an intention is absolutely, absolutely vital.
Totally, totally. Mm. And being able to reflect on that as well. And that's something that I actually didn't mention there with Hugh Jackman's daily design exercise, is when he gets to that the end of the day and he's looking at his journal, he's looking at his notes, wherever anyone wants to write it, he's just simply rating himself out of 10, very subjective, but I mean, it's coming from him, so it's pretty important in that way for himself. But he's rating himself out of 10 on where he's at with those intentions that make up that daily design. And at the end of the day, people have their own systems, but really being able to sort of not just put that out there, go that next step and, yeah, reflect on, am I actually putting time and energy into those areas? And if you're consistently starting to rate yourself under 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, well, then at least you know that there's something going on there that you need to put some more time and energy into to really set yourself up in a different way, maybe try something different. Whereas if you're going 7, 8, 9, 10, I mean, how awesome is that? Like, that has been a game changer for me personally, is just being able to get to a day, the end of a day, and it's 8 or 9 or 10, and I'm like you feel on top of the world at the end of the day, just before you go to sleep, and you know that tomorrow is going to be even better because you were putting these practices in place to get the most out of yourself, get the most out of your day, to do the things that really make you feel alive. Because at the end of the day, we're getting really existential here, but you've got to ask yourself, what is life about? Like, for you, it's unique to everyone, but what is life about to you? Because if you're not asking yourself that, then at the end of the day, this is just my opinion, it might sound out of school, but you're not living the best and fullest life that you could be right now.
And on that, I think where people get stuck in the rat race or stuck in life.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm actually not feeling that happy. Like, I don't want to set an intention. I just feel crap, or I feel flat, or I, you know, I keep yelling at the kids. This is what I hear. And I just feel tired. I've got no motivation. And one of the things I say to people is, sometimes setting an intention in the morning isn't the easiest thing to do when you're in that place. So one of the things I say is, well, when you're absolutely shattered at the end of the day, when you've been, you know, you've been at work, you've got the kids to bed, it's raining, it's wet, you're in your pajamas, what would you get up off the couch for? What is something you would enjoy doing? Like, what would you go out of your way to do? And if you can write that down all week, is when you don't feel like doing something, but you still do it, write it down and see if there's a pattern, because you'll find there'll be a pattern that you'll go to craft, or you'll go to helping somebody, or you'll go to cooking, whatever it is. Then look at this pattern and go, well, actually, that's what motivates me. That's what I enjoy doing. Have I missed that? Have I not been doing it for the last 10 years? And start setting that intention around those things that you enjoy. And it's an easy way to make a little step forward to creating joy and happiness and boosting serotonin and feeling good. So it's not always about hitting the pavement, eating better. It can be as simple as identifying what actually gets you excited, what actually gets you off the couch.
Totally. I love that. What gets you off the couch? That is awesome, Casey, because like you said, it can just be that little step. Like I feel like it can get confused sometimes with, having to do this massive overhaul and this life change overnight, over a week, over a month. Like it doesn't need to be like that. Like there's that story of the English cycling team, and they were, this is sort of going off tangent, but they basically brought in a coach because the team was doing really poorly, terrible results as a team. No one wanted to sponsor them. And they're on this world circuit, and they bring in a new coach, and all this coach focused on was 1% better. That was their mantra, just 1% better in any way possible. And it's funny, like there's a lot of material out there if anyone wants to look into it, but they got to the point where they were like measuring the little screws on all these different parts of the bikes and that sort of thing, because they were just looking at every different area that they focus on and just focusing on getting 1% better. But if we step back and look at it from a life perspective, if we looked at that and today you just wanted to get 1% better in one area of your life, you don't need to be a mathematician to think, okay, in 30 days, I'm looking at being 30% better. If I stick to my intentions and just focus on getting 1% better, in 100 days, I'm looking at being 100% better than what I am today. I mean, that just gets me excited thinking about it. And that's what I love about through Sounding Board Parenting, through coaching and that sort of thing, is just being able to really, hold a space for those opportunities to just get 1% better. And you've really got to ask yourself, like, 1% better, it's not the difficult task, which it can be made out to be sometimes, because I feel like we're not focusing on trying to get 1% better. We're focusing on trying to get 100% better in one day. And that's just setting ourselves up for some suffering, for some disappointment, because you're just putting these expectations on yourself instead of setting an intention, and they're completely different. Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that is awesome. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. Firstly, write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Secondly, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. And thirdly, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
And you really said it in there, Sean. You said, I am focusing on 1% better. Whatever it is you're doing, it's about you. It's not about anyone else and what they do or how they do it, or, you know, it's none of this keeping up with Joneses next door. It's your life. It's your ideal life. It's your ideal parenting. It's your ideal family connection. And that's what's important. So how you do it and how you do it 1% better, when you go to bed at the end of the day, congratulate yourself because it's yours and you did it. It's no one else's. Like it's no one else's challenge. It's nobody else's reward. So
totally.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. We just got to be our best version of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I know we were talking about it before, and I think that is one of the ultimates in life is just getting to that place of just owning 100% where you are right now is because of the choices and decisions that you have made. And that, even in myself, like it still sounds like a challenge because it is, because there's so many things going on around us. There were so many things going on around us when we were children. There's so many things going on in society right now. But at the end of the day, really being able to come back and just say, I am here in this place, in this situation today because of the choices and decisions that I've made. And that's both in the positive and that's both in those struggle times as well. And it all makes up who we are today. And that's a beautiful thing of life because everyone has that unique story. And that's, yeah. I mean, that's a big part of this podcast is just being able to use parenting as that vehicle for learning about those stories, because everyone has their own story and no one should undersell their own story because everyone is high performing in their own way, whether that's as a parent, whether that's in the workplace, whether that's just working on themselves. There's so many amazing stories out there. And just before we delve even further into that, I love talking personal growth with you, Casey, and I'm keen to learn a little bit more about, I suppose, what you're seeing in your profession as a naturopath in your business. You've been in this space for many years now, and I'd love to delve deeper into children's health and what you've seen professionally, and just maybe being able to walk away here with a couple of actionables in terms of as a parent with our children and their health, because I feel like there's so many preconceived ideas about there about what we should be doing and what they should be doing as children. But I suppose with a broad brush, what are you seeing at the moment in children's health?
Sure. Now, as you said, Sean, I've been in healthcare for a long time. So I started in pharmacy when I was 15 and I worked full time in pharmacy. So I left school to work in pharmacy. And as a result, I didn't enjoy the polypharmacy, so I went on to study naturopathy. In the same time I worked in pharmacy for that study time, I worked in health food stores and been in a clinical space. So I've been around the healthcare of children for a very long time, whether that be supporting parents from a pharmaceutical perspective or from as a pharmacy assistant or as a naturopath. I also worked as a naturopath in a chiropractic clinic that was children-based, a very family-based centre. So I say that to give you a bit of an understanding as to where I've been seeing children, because I don't say I'm a child-focused naturopath as such, but I see women and I see a lot of families and I see a lot of children, a lot of teenagers. So it's just not what I focus on as specifically. And I have seen a huge shift. It is nothing, the children's health is nothing like it was when I first started in pharmacy. Children would come in with a little bit of a sniffle here or there. We'd get a gastro bug going around the suburb or, you know, and you would see the trends because you would see the parents coming in. Oh, yeah, all their kids go to the same school or this happens. But we never saw the same depth of things like asthma, allergies, food allergies, skin allergies, atopy, glue ear, eczema. It just wasn't around. It was around, but nothing to the degree of what we see now. And it's been normalized. That's probably the part that breaks my heart the most. Not only is it around so much more, but it's been normalized that, oh yeah, that's just normal. That's what kids do. Yeah, they all just get their tonsils out and they all just get, you know, their ears done and they all just get eczema. No, they don't. That is not how our body is designed. We have an immune system. We have a body that is meant to work for us. And when people say, well, what is health? Well, if you eat a dirty piece of pizza, you should be vomiting and you should get diarrhea. I would hope so, because that would be the body trying to expel it and clean and you know, get rid of it. if you've got a cold or a virus, you should be able to get a runny nose and a temperature, because the temperature tells the immune system to activate and fight against it. And so that's the body working. I call that healthy. You want that to happen. And a lot of people say, oh, you're unhealthy, you've got a cold. Well, if you're getting a cold, or you're getting gastro, or you're getting these problems regularly, then all of a sudden we have to say, well, hang on a minute, the body isn't working how it should be. And so that's what I see a lot of. Like, I'm seeing a lot of children who are coming in with skin conditions, or like eczema, behavioral, concentration, anxiety, stress and anxiety. Like, in little ones, it's just as heartbreaking. And things that they shouldn't really be struggling with. It's just on this huge scale. So that's the change that I've seen. And from my perspective, yes, the child is coming in, but the parents are so torn. They're busy working, they're busy parenting, they're trying to socialize. There's so many so many pulls. And so half the time I feel like my job is actually to support the parent first, almost, because the tools that are required to create the right environment for the body to heal need somebody who's an adult to do that. And that can be really hard. So in some situations, it's actually supporting the parents with their education around the healthcare, their how to cook, their stress levels so they can do it. So they can actually do it, because if you're under pressure, it's really hard to be cooking and providing those types of foods that aren't creating more inflammation, oxidative stress, immune-based stress, digestive stress. So I've definitely seen a huge change in that. My heart breaks seeing teenagers with the anxiety that they have and the stress. It just wasn't, whilst I struggled with anxiety, or probably more depression, as a teenager, the same level and the frequency, I know we weren't as aware of it, or it wasn't spoken about, but it just didn't seem to be there like what I see in clinic now. And even from when I first started consulting in 2003, I just didn't see the same level as what I'm seeing now. So,
right.
Yeah, there's so much in that, Sean, but that's me just going,
No, thank you. It is really insightful, and I'd love to dive into a couple of those tools if you're open to it. But before we do that, you touched on the normalized mindset from your point of view that's been created, and we're looking at some of these different conditions, ailments at a depth that's never been seen before, potentially. And what, from your point of view, why do you think that is? Like, from a professional opinion, what do you think the reasons are for that? Is there a key sort of factor that you think is playing a big role right now in that normalized mindset, in those heightened conditions? What are you thinking at the moment?
Yeah, I think there's lots of factors involved. I certainly think there's a huge amount of factors. I think one that we've seen more recently is immune systems are being overstimulated really young, rather than nurtured and supported to develop in their natural way. I think the immune system needs that time to mature through via digestive health and our probiotic and microbiome. So the actual ecosystem itself. And then the immune system gets pressured by inflammatory-based foods, is a really big one. And stress, and there's lots of other things that I feel overstimulate the immune system too early. So the biggest thing I can say is, you know, we really avoided things like dairy and gluten early, because they are quite large particles, and so on an undeveloped digestive system, they push their way through that gut wall and create an inflammatory response, which needs an immune reaction. And the other thing that it does is those foods are generally higher in sugars. They feed the bacteria, so the imbalance of the ecosystem gets, you know, displaced. So you have, again, immune pressure. So I find that's a really big one that could be, it's hard to do when mums and dads are under pressure. It isn't, I'm not saying it's hard, is probably not the right word. It's time consuming to when there's so much convenience available, when convenience has become the norm. And we are so exposed to convenience foods, and they in somewhat are normalized too. So back in the day when I was a baby or a young child, our parents would make everything still, like it was still home cooked. Everything was, you know, the less packaged foods that have additives and preservatives and colorings and sugars. And we just by convenience have a lot more these days that put pressure on the immune system.
Yeah, and it's like my mind goes straight to, like what we're talking about before in terms of to become a better parent, you have to be able to put time and energy into being the best version of yourself possible. And I feel like there may be a conflict in the world right now with that in terms of totally, like you said, going back years was really about whether the convenience option was there or not. I'm not sure, but like it was really about serving your family, by the sounds of it, in the best way possible through those different ways. That's just one example in terms of nutrition, by the sounds of it. And yet, I feel like we've gone such a different path now with putting so many of these things like career and business and personal health or fitness or whatever it might be on such a pedestal that has the nutrition of our family started to be neglected in a way. I'm not sure. That's just the thought that sort of just come up.
Yeah, it's one that I have all the time, Sean, and it's definitely something that I see. And I'm not saying, it's really important that listeners understand, I'm not saying that in judgmental or saying that's wrong, but that's how people are. It's just the way things are at the moment. And I am in the same position. You know, I worked excessive hours. I was under high pressure. So it's challenging. It really is challenging.
Yeah.
But it's definitely what I've noticed. When I'm asked, what have you noticed changed in kids' healthcare in the last 20 years, which I've been doing this for nearly, longer than that, let's pretend it's not as long as that. I just added that up in my head. I've been doing it for way too long. that is what I've noticed, and that's what I've noticed. I can't lie. That is what I've seen. And it's just really challenging, and I find it hard. I mean, if I'm having a really busy week, or we've had a really cracker weekend, and I haven't had a chance to create the time, and I say create the time because it's still my choice. Create the time on a Sunday to do some food prep or go and do that groceries, then I have to go, all right, what have I got in the house? So in my house is pretty, there's generally stuff there, but I will put a little bit more convenient stuff. And maybe my convenient stuff is, I deliberately choose chemical-free, preservative, additive-free and so on. And I'm not complete deprivation, but I have a pretty good range of things I can grab that I know are a life-giving over life-taking. But I'm still, it's the reality. The shopping centre is more aisles now than it is Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So, it's a hard one. And these little immune systems, the milk, I mean, women around the world breastfeed on average, four years old, 4.5 years. In Australia, we don't do that. And it's really challenging. Like for some people, it's just not possible. And I get that. And then some are having to go back to work really soon. Some don't like it. There's so many reasons. However, what we know is that immune system maturation is so heavily reliant on breast milk. So there's another, it's another element. And there's just lots of these little elements where that poor immune system gets kind of heavily burdened really young in comparison.
Yeah, like so many questions were popping up then when you were talking about that. It is such a dense and in-depth world, isn't it?
How do we move forward knowing
this?
How do we support our children knowing this? We do the best that we can.
Yeah.
And we feel proud and we acknowledge ourselves and we cheer ourselves on that we do the best that we can.
Mm.
We can only do the best that we can. And that's whatever that is. That is what it is. And you can go and do lots of research and do lots of reading and go to the nth degree, but your best is your best and that has to be it. So it's not, my best is not comparable to yours and what you do with Oscar. And it's not for you to compare because you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, so, totally. Everyone's on their own journey with that, aren't they?
Yeah.
For sure.
But, there's a few things I really, and we talked briefly about this last time we chatted, but there's a few things that I'm really passionate about. I guess chemicals, I don't think we need to have additives and preservatives and chemicals in food. I mean, we should focus on the children, but we shouldn't have it as adults either. And it's really easy to find alternatives in our basic shopping centre if you want to buy a bag of chips for your kids, for example, the macro range in Woolies is generally the one that doesn't have the nasty additive in there.
Right.
So if you're wanting to do that, you could, you can find options. And just a simple jar of tomato sauce, if you like, want to make a quick sauce and you don't want to make it from scratch, generally the macro range, which for Australians is really accessible and really affordable, they have an organic one as well, doesn't tend to have the nasties in there. Now, there's simple things like the natural confectionery lolly company, the lollies and the wrappers are the best option over all of the others. So it's once we start looking at one thing at a time each week, we can slowly make changes that reduce the pressure on our kids' brain, on their skin, on their immune system, and support them.
That 1% better mentality it sounds like it's just taking that step off the path that we know, that we've known for so long, and just being able to take a little step off there every now and then just to be able to maybe widen that path in a way of nutrition for our family, for ourselves, and really being able to add life instead of take it away. I really liked it, the way that you said that. And something I was keen to sort of use you as a sounding board for as well today was meal times. And it's something that I've been thinking about for a while. I've been doing a lot of reading up on some of this anti-aging stuff and how that's all working around fasting and all these different ideas being the best version of ourselves possible, and nutrition is a big part of that in terms of what we put into our body, what we digest. Meal times, I've found personally that I've really added some extra energy to my life by not eating that regular breakfast, lunch and dinner that I was just so used to growing up. That's just how it was. And that's been really beneficial for me, but I haven't been able to find anything in terms of like material or any research or anything like that around children. And I suppose that's where my question's going, is that at the end of the day, like there's so much promotion around, try and skip a meal here and there as adults. I mean, that's the way I'm interpreting it. But I'm really sort of confused as a parent around a child as well. And not so much saying that I want to set a certain way, because I have a bit of a belief at the moment, well, this is my belief, that if Oscar's hungry, like he can eat something, and it's just asking him if he's hungry. It's not saying this is when dinner is, this is when lunch is, this is when breakfast is. However, I'm just really curious around the whole fasting and lowering our intake. Does that have a place with children? Because I have another view that says no, they're growing, but like is that my conditioning? Is that just what I've been told, like that's okay for them to eat as much as they want, and Yeah, so there's a few questions in there, but what's your thoughts on meal times, especially with children, and what have you seen through your work as well with that?
Children definitely need a certain caloric intake. They need certain nutrients. They need certain things. So there's not, they're growing. That's reality. So having a fasting method is certainly not something I would suggest in children. Maybe somebody would say differently, but it's not my go-to. I'm very heavily invested in how do you feel? Are you hungry? Are you not hungry? Does that make you feel satisfied? Hari hachi bu being the Japanese term. But I'm also invested in you need to have a little bit of broccoli. You need to have a little bit of carrot. You've got to have a bit of veggies because we've got to have that variety of vegetable matter, 44 different vegetables a week to feed that ecosystem, that microbiome. So whilst I want Tilly to nurture her connection with her tummy and whether she's hungry and she's not hungry, and nurture for that for as long as possible until, I hope she does that forever. But I also am very aware that it's my responsibility as a parent to ensure that variety of vegetable matter is there to keep her ecosystem and her immune system at its best. So we have a rough set meal time, dinner, but I know she's going to be hungry. And so I kind of work off of, we've had breakfast at this time, she's roughly had that, and having school definitely makes this easier. Knowing what she's roughly ate in her lunchbox and what she hasn't, and then dinner is at this time. And we do that because having that family time and the community and the connection around dinner is also very important to me. So I don't want food to be about, I want to nurture food behavior because it's not something that I've learnt. It's I've had a lot of food, poor relationship with food through my own upbringing. And so as a result of that, it's really important to me. Yeah. But the family time is vital too. So I have two really high values there.
Well, that's another big part of that conversation, isn't it? It's what comes with the nutrition conversation. It's the human connection that you can experience. And something you said there was the relationship with food. And I think we touched on this last time, just around everything is about relationships in a way. Like, it's not just between people, it's with food, it's with our technology now, it's with so many different areas of our life. And I love what you said around nurturing that relationship. So really putting or trying to create an environment that allows for a safe and enjoyable relationship to take place and to develop and to evolve in its own way, I suppose. And that was something that came up then, in its own way, instead of it being forced a set way, being conditioned a set way. At the end of the day, having that's awesome. I really appreciate that. I think there's some awesome takeaways just in that. From a nutrition point of view, because I think it is a topic, it is a hot topic, and it's only going to get bigger as we head into the future as well, in terms of who knows what that could look like. I mean, they're talking about all of this artificial food and that sort of thing, in terms of artificially developed meats and all that sort of thing. And I'm like, wow, like imagine if we're having this conversation in 50 years, it's going to be completely different again.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
So am I. I'm a tragic optimist. So I'm excited for what the future holds. And at the end of the day, like we've said, it's about the choices that we make as individuals in terms of how we adapt to that. But yeah, there is a nervousness as well inside of me, Casey. That's just wow, what's ahead. And that is an awesome segue, because I'm interested to know from your point of view, whether it's that in that area or across the board, what what changes do you see occurring within parenting in future generations? So, and this isn't always a nice part for our guests on the show, but go 30, 40 years ahead when Tilly is potentially a parent of her own. What changes do you feel like you see in the parenting world in that time?
Yeah, I worry about the technology.
Okay.
You know, I do worry about technology. I worry about, because it's already such an issue now. So I worry about how much confusion can, how we actually shift our ability to create happiness. And so I worry from a parenting perspective, what, you know, the damage of social media and the damage of iPhones and things, really does worry me. I think there's a lot of benefit to that as well, though. I definitely see in the future, from a naturopathic perspective, personalized medicine will become the way of life. Like, I think that'll be how we work nutritionally and on a health, we're looking at 30, 40 years. I think that's how we will deal with healthcare. So looking at people's genetic pictures and actually making nutritional plans off of that, off of their gene base.
Wow.
However, no matter where our genes are at, the terrain and what the environment we provide it is still absolutely going to have the biggest impact. So whilst we may nutritionally and from a prescription or from an naturopathic prescription and even integrated GP prescribing, I would expect that's where we will head, so more of a very much marrying it up as an individual. But when it comes to that terrain and the environment, I just hope, I have high hope that we sort of do a bit of a, I don't know, a big 360 and come back to really nurturing living from plant, land, sea, you know, tree. And we really see that that's actually what brings health. I hope there's some epiphany that this convenience of life and this speed of life, this way of life is actually not giving us the outcomes of happiness that everybody's so desperately scrounging to get to, and that materialism isn't that. I know we've seen a shift already now in like people's buying habits is more experience-based than materialism. And so I'm hoping that that continues into the future, and we see, and with that, people, you know, will hopefully take a step back and enjoy bit of old school living. I suspect we'll have a bit of group living, you know, like families, sort of generational integration and grandparents caring for grandchildren, maybe. I think that'd be a nice thing if that is the case. Yeah. Already something we nurture. So, there's lots of positives, but there's a lot of concern.
Yeah, I'm with you on, I'm definitely with you on those positives of the group living. And at the end of the day, like I said, that tragic optimist in me sees us taking that step from that shift that you already described, from that materialism mindset to, because we have turned to experiences, I feel like we're heading into an age of consciousness that could do some great things for humanity as well. And I'm really excited at we're a part of it. And there's another confidence I get from knowing people like you, Casey, are serving our community. So I just want to acknowledge you for that and thank you for that as well. I think it's awesome what you're doing. And again, I feel like there might be a 3.0, 4.0, 5.0 in the future, because I love our conversations and I just know that our listeners will definitely get some value from our chat as well. And before we wrap up, I'd love to ask you a couple of more questions. And the first is how would you like to be remembered as a parent, Casey?
I think a warm, safe space that's motivating, stretching, keeps accountability and connection. Yeah. Yeah, an open, warm space.
Sounds like you put some thought into that. in parts.
That's no, cool. If it wasn't a podcast, I'd show you my ideal life poster.
Oh, maybe it's 3.0, ideal life poster.
I love it, Sean.
What are you loving about parenting right now, Casey?
I'm loving the fun. I love the giggles. I love the funny conversations. I love watching Tilly's personality grow. I love watching our relationship grow. I love my relationship with my husband. I love standing in the kitchen laughing at what Tilly's doing together and having that joy that we share. What else? I don't know. I love it all. I love it all. I love the hard times as much as they rock me. I love them because, you know, that's living.
Yes. Yes. And that's what growing. Makes it's what makes those great times so great. I love what you're sort of describing there. I actually, it really sort of brought up a moment the other night. I can actually hear Oscar in the background. That's why I thought of this. I'm not sure if you can hear him, but I had a moment the other night where I was just sitting in the living room with him. He was playing with his blocks. We were having a wrestle, just mucking around. And I'll be totally honest, I'm going to step into that arena right now of vulnerability. I had a bit of a cry because this is honestly like flowing on from our conversation before. Family is so rock solid for me right now at the top of my values that in that moment it was just a cry of pure joy that like this little being that Jess and I get to call our son was just having so much fun and we're interacting and it was one of those ultimate connecting experiences and it just come from nowhere. But it was even reflecting on it now, like it just fills me up with pride and joy because, again, going back to our existential question from before, what is life about to you? Anyone that's listening, like just really getting clear on what is life about to you right now. There's nothing saying that that won't change in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, but just getting clear on that because the joy will just naturally flow from that, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can all say it's the ultimate lotto question. Like, you know, if you won lotto, what would you do tomorrow? And everybody basically answers the same thing. Like, you know, oh, I'd pay off my house and help somebody. I'd do no.
What would you do? Yeah.
Take all of that out of it. That's all superficial. That's nothing. Like, strip it back and go, well, tomorrow, if I had to give up everything that I had, what's two things I could not give up to live with? You know, what are two things that I would have to keep to be able to keep going? You know, and I don't mean on a financial or, you know, what it would keep. And I'm like, well, it would be my family. It would be the family and connection that I have. And if that's how we strip it back and go, that's what I want, then every decision has to be wrapped in that because that will make you happy.
Totally.
You would buy with the lotto win? That's just the cream, I guess. I don't know. It's not my thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to take, depending on what your beliefs are, but in my opinion, you're not going to take that car. You're not going to take that house. You're not going to take that top of the top of the building office. You're not going to take that into the next life. What you will take, though, is these relationships that you can build over this time, whether it be with family, friends, your community. Like, it's that human connection. That is what will travel with you into the future, I think. And yeah, as I said before, thank you so much, Casey, for jumping on again on the podcast. I really enjoy our conversations. I always leave them on a really high energy wavelength. And just to finish off with our time to plug off segment, just for anyone that wasn't listening last time, where can people find you in terms of socials, the business, and yeah, what's next for you? What are you focusing on next?
I'm a naturopath and I consult clinically from Perth. You can find me on Instagram, # KCNaturopath. So it's KACEY. And jump on my website, it's pretty much the same. KCNaturopath.com.au, and I do online work, Zoom work, face-to-face work, you name it. And you can find me out and about and around. where to from here? Ever evolving my women's reset program. It's gone awesome. 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks that kind of creeps into three, and now I'm thinking I want it to be four or five. But I just love doing it. I join in with the women, and it feels great. After 4 weeks, just such a empowering time. So that's where my focus is going to be from a clinical perspective at the moment. And I'll probably, do a bit more personal growth before we speak next.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that next time. Casey, you're an absolutely awesome person. I'm just sending well wishes across to yourself, Tilly and Aaron as well, and looking forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, Sean, and the same with the podcast. I absolutely love it. I look forward to listening to next week's episode.
Thank you for listening. Let us know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As the new pod on the block, it would be awesome if you look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and share some love with a like, follow, or comment? Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Stilo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From our hearts to yours, we hope you're making progress on something that you love and makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.